This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
It's Agribusiness Today on Sports Radio 92.3 and 1450. A good day to talk the markets ahead of what could be an interesting day tomorrow. USDA's got fairly substantial updates coming out. So I wanted to reach out to Darren Newsom. Darren Newsom Analysis and my favorite USDA curmudgeon to find out what we shouldn't be thinking too much about tomorrow. How are you doing, Darren?
I'm doing fine, Steve, and I do like that title.
So, as you are, I'll let you come up with kind of the right adjective about how you feel about these USDA updates and reports and some of the numbers that are held into it. But really, my initial thought was kind of this today. You know, what's mattering more right now, Fed policy or USDA updates coming out 24 hours from now?
Well, in the big picture, since USDA updates mean nothing by default, that means that the Fed policy is probably a bigger issue facing not only financial markets, global markets, but agricultural markets as well. We have to factor in, interest rates and the effects on the dollar and global trade and all of these things. These are real issues. These are real fundamental issues that we have to tackle down the road, whereas USDA's numbers, they're all made up. Most of them make no sense whatsoever. They are tied to reality. If we want to know real fundamentals, all we have to do is look at the market any day, any hour. Between those two choices, I would lean towards the Fed policy.
And if the Fed starts slowly raising interest rates, what's the impact on the grain markets, the commodity markets, if you will?
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting, because just based on economic theory, that should strengthen the dollar, particularly if, as many analysts were talking about here early this year so far, that we're going to see more than three interest rate increases. And Chairman Powell, in his grilling today, as he sits in front of Congress answering questions, trying to get his nomination passed for it to be continued to be Fed. He's even said that if inflation stays strong, if it continues to be a problem, they'll raise rates more. So the idea that we're just going to have three in 2022 and that's it, I think it's an open book. I think anything is possible. I mean, has the Fed been slow to attack what looks to be an inflation problem? Yes. Are they trying to make up for lost ground at this point? Certainly seems to be the case. But they're going to be hawkish. They're going to be aggressive so far from what it looks like in 2022.
But there's this robust job market going on right now, even in the face of, whether you like it or not, another surge of Omicron, whatever people do make of COVID on a personal basis. We cannot ignore the fact about how many people are testing positive, then how many people are not out doing things right now. But still, shops are full, Darren. Mm-hmm. People are still flying. Cruise ships are still leaving the docks, all over the place. So inflation is up, but the job market is up. And so can you push interest rates up higher and still not have a huge impact on what's going to go on economically?
Well, I think so. Right now, and again, I'm not an economist. I don't play one on TV, and I didn't stay at a hotel chain last night. But by all accounts, by everything that we look at, and I look more at the cutout, beef cutout prices, the economy's going well. Are there problems? Yes. There's still problems in the economy, but it's going strong. So, we're not talking about going back to interest rates like what we saw in the 80s. That's nonsense. We're just looking at we've been in this this 0 to 0.25% interest rate for what seems like a decade or more now. And so we're going to raise it. We're going to raise rates a little bit to combat these higher prices for everything. The bottom line is we're not, some of this is transitory, some of it's permanent. We're not going to all of a sudden cut wages. We're not going to cut some of these service costs and these sorts of things. What we are going to try to do is probably put a lid on some of the underlying commodity costs, which could affect, grain markets. But let's be honest, supply and demand ebbs and flows. And that's what we're going to see in corn, soybeans, wheat, crude oil, these sorts of things. It's just a constant ebb and flow change of supply and demand, not it's all of a sudden going to get shut off because the Fed makes a move. but we're just going to see what happens normally in these markets.
To the supply and demand question then right now, and that's probably a lot of what, you know, kind of gets divvied out of, you know, stocks to use ratios, some of these other things that we'll start to hear about from USDA. What do you see the market telling you right now, and where is the action in that market moving forward?
Okay. Setting aside, because USDA has no clue about stocks to use, because they make up stocks, they make up, you know, everything. So let's just set that aside. But real stocks to use is incredibly tight right now. The available stocks to use that I calculate at the end of every month continues to tighten. And we can see this by cash prices, which brings into account how strong basis is, particularly in corn and soybean and hard red winter wheat, and even Minneapolis spring wheat has shown strong basis. So we know that we have a tight supply situation in regards to demand. We don't know what total supplies are. We don't know what total demand is. We don't know any of that. But what we do know is available stocks to use, and that's tight. Then we've got, if we want to look at the big picture, we've got future spreads that are either showing a very weak carry or inverses going out through the 2021-22 market year, or even off into 2022-23. This tells us that long-term supply and demand globally is going to stay tight as well. So tomorrow's numbers don't make any difference. We can see what the real fundamentals are, and that's where things get interesting. So we raise interest rates. The dollar supposedly firms. It's not going to change the supply and demand situation. We're not going to magically discover more bushels. It's if the world's interested in the bushels and in the supplies the U.S. has. Right now, everyone's waiting to see what happens in South America. But if those supplies, and what the market's telling us is that those supplies aren't going to be enough to last, you know, into the late spring, early summer, and the world's going to come back to the U.S. door, we're still looking at tight supplies here in the United States.
You said available stocks to use, and I want to ask a question about that. Is that available stocks, like what people have and are willing to sell, or what people have and are unwilling to sell? Or is it all the grain, regardless of a producer's desire to move anything out of a grain bin as it exists right now?
The way that I look at it, it's those stocks that are available to be used right now, that have been available either through sales or whatever the case might be. So when we look at what the cash market's telling us, that's saying that immediately, right now, that there aren't enough supplies to meet demand. Now, as we look at the future spreads, what it tells us is that longer term, even with the stuff that's in storage that nobody has any wanting to sell at this point, that even if we calculate those in, that we're still in a tight situation. So it's both. Basis in the cash market is telling us that short term, those available stocks aren't enough to cover demand, or they're tightening in relation to demand. And long term, if we look at the spread, that's telling us that even those that are in storage that will be moved later on, we're still looking at a tight situation in regards to what is expected of demand down the road. From the commercial side of the market, certainly not USDA.
That's bullish, right?
Yeah, it has been bullish for years. I mean, it's bullish. I mean, if we just want to call it something, bullish, bearish, or otherwise, yeah, I mean, long-term fundamentals are bullish. The real fundamentals of the market are bullish. I don't know what the made-up version of fundamentals are, but I know the real fundamentals of the markets are bullish.
Okay, that's bullish for years, as you say. Can it continue to last more years? And I know that's the impossible question here, Darren, but we've been on such a run. Things have been really good for a long time. Is this where we are? Barron's or whoever it out had a, you know, commodity super cycle cover the other day out in national publications, and people say, okay, the top's in. Once everybody starts talking about something, it means grandma's buying, so it means everybody else has already done it. It's time to exit the market. Are we still looking at years moving forward, or what can get out there and tip the balance?
You know, what tips the balance is demand. And so, you know, and that's the great unknown. It's going to be unknown tomorrow. It's going to be unknown at the end of the year. It's constantly in flux. You know, we could say we've got tight supplies, and maybe we do have tight supplies, but if all of a sudden demand isn't there, and demand goes away or decreases or whatever the case might be, then all of a sudden the situation is not quite as bullish as it was before. And these spreads, these deferred spreads, can certainly change. And then all of a sudden, as we start looking towards the next marketing year, you know, we have to factor in, okay, what are acres going to be? What's the weather look like? What soil moisture and all these sorts of things? You know, and so far, putting all of that together, it still looks bullish. Spreads are still indicating that this is going to be bullish for the 2022-23 marketing year as well. But they change. Fundamentals change. The real fundamentals of markets change. Not as quickly as USDA's numbers, but they can change over time, and we just have to track it by watching what these spreads are telling us.
Boy, but demand looks good then, right? I mean, people are going to be keeping on driving this summer. The health picture is a little grim right now, but it's going to be better. Everybody knows this spring, this summer, people will be back out on vacation. They'll probably largely choose to drive and maybe get on airplanes still at this point. We're eating beef. We haven't stopped going to the grocery store. We've changed that dynamic a little bit in the food service industry, but now you can buy everybody in the family a steak for what it used to cost at a restaurant for one or for two. Can demand go away at this point in time, even in the face of inflation, when we still got good job numbers and the Fed tinkering just a little bit with interest rates?
Right now, particularly if we look at corn, demand's solid. I mean, as you said, we've got three-legged demand stool for domestic corn. We've got solid feed demand because we have a lot of cattle on feed. And we know we've got a lot of cattle on feed by looking at the cattle spread. So feed demand is still strong. Ethanol demand. You know, we finally got our mandate set here a little while back. You know, they're a little lower than expected, but, I mean, it's still, we've got mandate demand for ethanol. And as you said, we're going to see more driving come summertime. Gasoline demand, the crude oil demand should stay solid. So, yeah, we've got that leg of demand. And then exports. We've seen export business starting to pick up a little bit in corn, a little more disappointing in soybeans, but looking better in corn. And then we factor in the fact, you know, Argentina has suffered from a drought here for much of its spring and summer. So all three legs of corn demand still does look strong going forward. Can it change? Absolutely. But for right now, it looks strong. And that's why future spreads are so bullish out in the 2021-22 or 22-23 marketing year.
I'm not asking you to identify a black swan because it's impossible by the very nature of them. But, Darren, am I missing something then in this marketplace if we're just kind of talking a lot of roses right now?
You know, it's always possible, and I love the way you phrase that. We can't predict a black swan because they're unpredictable. Could one pop up? Absolutely. You know, at least right now, the black swan, and it really wasn't a black swan, but the problem of trade wars when it comes to corn demand seems to be put on the shelf. At least that's not going to happen. And handing out, you know, ethanol waivers to the petroleum industry like Halloween candy, that also seems to have gone away. So there's really nothing right now that jumps out at us as far as corn demand going forward. The biggest one could be feed demand. If all of a sudden we just say, we can't afford the feed anymore, we're just going to stop this, we're going to, you know, liquidate the herd and these sorts of things. That is a possibility, not a likelihood, but a possibility. So, yeah, looking ahead, at least right now, on the corn side, there isn't anything that jumps out at us. On the soybeans, you know, the one thing hanging out there's two things. The incredibly weak Brazilian real, and let's just say somehow Brazilian production comes in larger than expected, and the world's largest buyer really has no interest in U.S. soybeans right now other than just as a secondary supplier. If Brazilian production comes in larger than expected, and the Brazilian real stays almost historically cheap, then they will do as much buying as they can. They'll empty out the tanks in Brazil before they start looking at the U.S. again.
Talking to Darren Newsom, Darren Newsom Analysis, and Darren, okay, kind of the final question here on today's program. Hey, guys, USDA numbers still matter. They're still important to me. I'm a producer. I need to know what's going to happen tomorrow because I need to know if I need to do anything tomorrow or as the report comes out, what should I be paying attention to? Because from my perspective, what USDA says is important to me and my business. What should people be paying attention to?
Number one, it's not important to your business. It's going to be, you know, it's going to get a knee-jerk reaction. Then we're going to go right back to where we were. But if we have to pay attention to something tomorrow, if we have to say, oh, this is going to make or break my year, let's see what their guess is about South American or South American production for both corn and soybeans. Because other than that, there's nothing there. But let's see how its guess on Brazilian soybean production, Argentina corn production, and so on, lines up with what we're hearing from domestically in Brazil and Argentina. How do those numbers line up with what we're seeing as far as domestic guesses? Other than that, yeah, there's just, honestly, there's nothing there.
He's Darren Newsome, our USDA curmudgeon here on The Noon Show. Thank you very much, Darren.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.